let's get in our Bibles this morning. We're talking about doctrine and what we believe, and we ought to know what we believe, why we believe it. And I thank God we can have a Bible that we can look to and get into. We need to get in our Bible more, amen. As so much more, I'd like the Bible talks about, you know, getting together in church so much more as we see the day approaching. So we need to get in more. Take your Bible, look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And it's important. People always say, you know, you all these new these churches I talk to, people, you know, go to these churches, and they say, well, we use any Bible. And as soon as you say, you know, that ain't right, they think, oh, man, what's the matter with you? All Bibles are the same, ain't they? Everything's the same. And now this church is known, we're known because we're King James Bible believers.
Amen.
We're known around. And what happens is now the new churches and stuff like that, they're trying to say that's a cult if you're a King James Bible believer. And, you know, when our forefathers came over from England and different parts of the country, they came over with the King James Bible in their hand. And they came over having believing the Bible, believing it's the Word of God. So somebody shifted. You know, our foundation is on the Word of God. And what's happened is these new Bibles, these publishers come in, just like you watch the Senate over there. They're a bunch of crooks. Everybody's Republican, Democrat. They're all a bunch of crooks. And our country's moved to shift it. But they come over with the Bible and the King James Bible being the Word of God, and we still believe it. But they've shifted to the point where these publishers put out these new Bibles. They're trying to sell them, trying to get, because they say the Bible is the best seller. It's the best seller. Now I don't know if the King James Bible is still the best seller or not. But all these new Bibles have come along. There's 200 and some Bibles on the market, and some of the Bibles on the market, they're making God a neutral God or a neuter God. No, not female, not male. And some of the Bibles they come out with making God a female because this movement. They're making God. And then they come out with God is just neuter. He's just nothing. He's just, you know, not a male, not female. He's just nothing. So they've got all these Bibles coming out on the market, and all these churches are going along. They always say when a church starts going down the tubes is when they get rid of the Bible. And what happens is when you get rid of the King James Bible's got power to it. When you read the King James Bible, when you read the Bible in the King James, when you read it, it's got power. And you read these new Bibles, they got no power at all. It seems like it's like reading a magazine or something. There's nothing to it. It's just no power to it. And so when you preach from a Bible, King James Bible, and you've had people say when they come to this church and they notice there's a difference in the way the preaching is and the way the Word of God's read and the way it reads, and because there's power in the Word. And God says he'll keep his Word. It says the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 or 12 says that. And so the Word of God is powerful. That's why the devil fights against it. And that's why all these new Bibles on the market. And so you got all these churches going away from the King James Bible. Some of them will go to the New King James, and then they go to NIV, or they go to the ASV, or the NASV, or the, you know, whatever's out there, they're going towards it. But usually they go to the NIV, Baptist. They're going for the NIV. And then you go to these churches that are in the houses and that's in the schools, and they don't believe the King James Bible. They have the new Bible. And then if you ask the pastor, do you believe the Bible? Oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. And you say, do you really believe the Bible? I had a guy one time, I said, I was a foreman on a job, and I pulled up there. I was operating the crane, and I'm sitting in his trailer. He was a general foreman. And I'm sitting there, and he's telling me he's saved. And I said, man, praise God. And we talked about the Lord, and we sat around and fellowship. And when I wasn't operating the crane, and then about a week or so went by. Every day I'd go in there and talk to him. And I asked him, I noticed that he had a Bible. And I said, let me look at your Bible. I looked at the Bible, it's NIV. And I've had this happen a couple of times with different foremen, different men that I've talked to. And I've sat there, and I looked at their Bible, and I said, it was NIV. I didn't jump right on them right away. I prayed, and I said, Lord, give me wisdom. So about 2 days later, after I looked at his Bible, I came in and I said, you know, you love the Word of God. And we're talking about the Word of God. I said, yeah, I love the Word of God. Thank God it's power in the Word of God. He goes, yeah, there's power in the Word of God. And I said, do you believe that? He goes, I believe that. I said, does it bother you when God, if somebody uses God's name in vain or misquotes God's word and all that? He goes, oh man, it bothers me. I don't like that when somebody does that. And I said, well, why would you have a Bible that takes the blood of Jesus Christ out and the deity of Jesus Christ out and makes Jesus Christ a sinner? And why would you have a Bible? He said, what are you talking about? So I turned over there and I started showing him. And I started showing him the scriptures, and after he looked at that, and I showed him what the King James Bible said and showed him what his Bible said, he got up from his desk. This one guy in particular got up from his desk, took his Bible, that NIV, and walked over and threw it in the trash can. I've had that happen a couple times. And what people's excuse is well, let's do away with the these and the thous because they're hard to understand. Now, I got saved. I had about an eighth grade education. And I got saved, and I couldn't hardly read at all, man. Matter of fact, I couldn't read. My wife taught me how to read, and I'd learned little words like the, was, that kind of thing. And if I could read the Word of God, and my wife read it to me, and I could understand it, I mean, any dumb thump can. And people, what they try to tell you is, we give you a Bible that's easier to read. Something a little bit better, something, you know, it's got, but there's 30-some thousand changes, words taken out, verses taken out, whole verses taken out about the deity of Jesus Christ and all that. So the devil is out to try to destroy Christianity and destroy you and take your power away from you and take your sword away from you. The old saying is, you have a sword. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the old saying is, the devil says, wait a minute, I got something better for you. And he takes your sword away and gives you a little beanbag to fight against him. So or a butter knife, you throw it at him. And a sword cuts, a real sword. So this Bible, whenever I'm reading it, whenever I read it on my own, even when I'm preaching sometimes, some of you guys had this happen to you, you'll be preaching and God will cut you while you're preaching. And as you're reading the Word of God, and after I read the Word of God, I got to get on my knees and say, oh God, help. Help me. Help my old flesh. My old flesh is something else. And so the devil's constantly trying to take the Bible away from us and trying to get rid of it. If you go in Walmart or any stores that sell Bibles, you'll be hard-pressed to find a King James Bible. Whenever I go to a place and I find a King James Bible for sale pretty cheap, I buy them. I buy a King James Bible, I get them so I can give them away, give them to people. So our church, we bought a bunch of Bibles, and when somebody gets saved, we give them a Bible. We want to give them a Bible, give them the right Bible. When we have the I Love Smyrna Days, Brother Ken and Brother Eddie and those guys, they take Bibles up there and they give Bibles. And what was funny, we was up there 1 year, a lady came over and said, can I get a Bible? And she goes to the other churches have their tables set up. And they just sit there. Our guys and our ladies are more aggressive. They're up there passing out tracts. People want my. Now, all these other churches just sitting there. Why? They ain't got nothing to give them other than candy. That's all they got. It's candy. And they give them a little brochure about their church. And that's it. But we get up. They got the Bible, got tracts, got all that stuff given out. So this lady came over to Brother Eddie or Ken, one of them, and said, she said, did my pastor come over here and get a Bible? And her pastor came over and got a King James Bible. And she said, did my pastor come over and get a King James Bible, get a Bible from y'all? And she says, that's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. My pastor's got to come over here and get a Bible. We said, we're just glad he got it. Maybe he'll read it. Amen. So when you have a King James Bible, you got the Word of God. So here, you see this little picture here. You all look at this picture. You got the King James Bible on top of the mountain. You got all these other books in the bottom. And all the others, they're just, the King James is superior. Amen. It's a superior book. And we stay with the superior book. And the these and the thous is not hard to understand. And people they'll try to tell you that baloney, that, you know, these and thous, you know, we made it. There's a new Bible that takes, you know, just all it does is take the these and thous and changes it. They are liars. Now, I want to ask some of you all to give me some verses that you know has been changed. And stand up and, yep, go ahead.
In John 7:8.
Go to your Bibles, John 7:8. Go there.
Can I read the King James?
Yes, sir. Go to John 7:8 first. Major doctrines. John 7, 8.
This is Jesus' disciples asking if he's going to go to the feast. And the King James, it says, go ye up unto the feast. And then Jesus' answer is, I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. And a few verses later, he shows up. So he says, I'm not going up yet. He means, maybe I'll go later. A lot of the other Bibles change the yet, and it says, I go not up. A few verses later, Jesus goes. So people think Jesus is a liar.
Yep. All right, go ahead. Cody.
Acts 8:37.
John 8:37. Acts 8:37.
The story of the Ethiopian eunuch.
The Ethiopian eunuch, that's the story of it.
Acts 8:37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the salvation.
Yeah.
That's not even in all the other Bibles. It's not even in the NIV at all. It's completely taken out.
The NIV takes that, what they take out a phrase, if thou believest with all thine heart.
They take out all of Acts 8:37.
The whole verse.
It literally skips. If you get an NIV, even the number, it goes from 36 to 38. They don't even try to cover it up.
They can't count.
They can't count. You know what? I want everybody to hear what you're saying. So I want you to come up here and I want you to take your and read your verse and then tell us what it is, all right? Yeah, come on up here. Come up here. And Cody, if you want to come up here too, then just go over it again. I got a bunch of stuff I was going to show you. I've got, but I want y'all to get this. And why do we believe the King James Bible? Why we stand with the King James Bible? And it's important. And instead of saying, we just believe the King James Bible. I don't know why, but we just do. And there's a lot of scripture that's been changed from all these new Bibles. I always say this. We say out in the world, if something works, why change it, right?
That's right.
And but the reason why it's being changed is Doc used to say, if you can't understand it, there's a buck in it. And what happens is publishers try to get their fingers on the Word of God because they're a bestseller. So they put their stamp to it and they change it and then they put all their little notes in it. And see, the Bible, when the King James Bible was first translated, it was translated without a copyright date or a copyright. So anybody could translate it anywhere, anytime. But what happens is when these publishers put their signature on it, in a sense, then they get the money from it. They'll get, you know, the dividends from all the other things that being printed. So that's what they're interested. They're interested in the money. So go ahead. Go ahead and read it again.
At 8:37.
Wait a minute, let me give you a mic. Somebody turn that pulpit mic on. There you go.
Hey, everybody's awake now. That was funny, it was like a wave. Sorry. Anyway. Acts 8:37, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. If you go over to 37, it says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you find, I actually did it with a couple of family members. If you get into the NIV and look into this, it actually skips from 36 to 38. They don't even try to hide that 37 is gone. It literally just jumps from 36 to 38. And of all verses, like, that's the explanation of the salvation to the Ethiopian eunuch. So the whole salvation verse in this chapter is gone. So that just kind of messed me up a little bit. They believe in water baptism, right. Can I double dip? I got another one right here.
All right, go ahead.
All right. 2 Timothy 2:15. We all know that one, right? I'm going to pull up this crazy thing here. Just because I don't carry a message Bible, but I want to show you this. Right. All right. So 2 Timothy 2:15, we know it as, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the message, here's what they have for that. And remember, our big concept is rightly dividing. Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of. Laying out the truth plain and simple. That's it. Like, thanks for that. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of show you, like, that's an important verse for us, the 2 Timothy 2:15. And one of the biggest line of it is the rightly dividing. And it's just, do your best and study.
Amen.
So, show you that.
I got English Standard Version here. I've got NIV somewhere in there.
Isaiah chapter 14. A lot of us know this one. But verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Obviously, Lucifer is a bad person in the Bible, and he's a bad person. He's the devil. And in new Bibles, especially the ESV I know of, it calls him the son of the morning, or it calls him the bright and morning star. And if you turn to Revelation 22, that's what they call Jesus Christ. That's what John refers to as Jesus Christ, or Jesus himself. Says this, it says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." So new Bibles make Lucifer the same as Jesus Christ. Right. And anybody with any little bit of sense would know that's not the case.
Somebody else got something. Yeah, Brother Joe.
John chapter 6, verse 47. John 6, 47. This is pretty doctrinal here. Give you just a second to turn there. John 6, 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." The two words "on me" are taken out. That's pretty big, right? That's doctrinal right there. So everybody believes, oh, yeah, I believe. Me and Jesus, we're cool. I got my Jesus thing going on. Bible says you're going to hell if you don't believe on Jesus Christ. Right. Amen.
Somebody else? Somebody else got one? Go. Come on. Whoop-bar.
First John chapter 5. This is one of the most attacked verses in the Bible, and I'm reading it from the notes of this Bible that I have, but I know that it was one of the most attacked verses in the Bible. First John chapter 5, verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And the word there, word, is capital W, and I guess you can compare that with the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, where the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." All capital W there, referencing Jesus Christ. And that 1 John 5, 7 is a verse that's been attacked since, I guess, in my notes here, it says Origen. Is that his name, Origen? Mm-hmm. He removed them for them last 13 words, and then I got some notes here, but I'm not going to read all that. But that is one of the most attacked verses in the Bible.
Well, what they did, to be dishonest about it, they took in verse where it says there are three that bear record in the earth, that testimony of the earth. They've taken that verse and put it up to verse part of that verse 7. It says here in the American Standard, it says, "For there are three that testify, the spirit, the water, and the blood. These agree. These three agree." So they've taken that whole verse out, 5-7. They took it completely out. Being dishonest about it, they took verse 8 and puts it up to verse 7 and broke it in half and came down with it. So that's what they did. Anybody else got a verse? Yeah, brother. Come on.
I got one more thing I just want to say. Mark chapter 16 was probably one of the biggest ones. If you look down in verse 9, mm-hmm. In Mark 16, verses 9, all the way to the end of the chapter, they get that whole entire thing out.
Mark 16. Verse 9 all the way down. So, needless to say, we are King James Bible believers around. We hold to the Word of God. And the Bible says a little leaven leaven the whole lump. If you got a Bible that's got, if it's got errors in it, then that means, as Jesus said, a little leaven leaven the whole lump. If you got a Bible that's got leaven in it or it's corrupt, then you say, well, the whole thing. And there's, like I said, there are 30,000 changes. Some of them just one word. One word can change a whole doctrinal statement. One word. Like, I'll give you, for instance, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Take your Bible to 1 Timothy 3, and I'll read it, what it says in here. Y'all look at it in your Bible, 1 Timothy 3. 16, and I'll read it what it says here. 1 Timothy 3:16. And some of y'all might not even catch it. It says, now this is crazy here. This one's crazy. Let me read 1 Timothy 3:16. And when you say you love the Word of God, you ought to stand on the Word of God and believe it and hold to it. So, and don't let nobody take it away from you. When I first got saved, I had a guy tell me when I got saved, he said, here's the Word of God. Give me a King James Bible. He said, don't let nobody ever talk you out of it. And then I'll find out later, this guy that said that became a pastor, and I was at his church, and he was taken over for another pastor. So I'm at his church one night, and I started, I got in there late, Linda and I and the kids, and somebody was singing, and I stood up in the back, I was shouting a little bit, and he turned around, his name is Bob Thompson, he's sitting on the front seat, he was the assistant pastor at the time, or associate pastor, and he turned around and said, oh, Alan's here. So, and I loved Bob. Bob Thompson gave me chances to preach when I first got saved and all that, and so... He comes back to me at the end of service, and he's talking to me. He said, man, I was living in Columbia, South Carolina at the time. And so he says, so the pastor walks up. He says, this is our pastor, so-and-so. I can't remember the guy's name. And I was just in the 20s. I was in my 20s. And he said, where are you living at? I said, Columbia, South Carolina. I just left Greenville, South Carolina, and came to Columbia, South Carolina. And he goes, so you go to Columbia Bible College. And I didn't know nothing about Peter Ruckman, nothing. I didn't know nothing. And he said, you go to Columbia Bible College down in Columbia, South Carolina. I said, no, sir, I don't go there. I said, they wouldn't know the Bible if it hit them upside the head. And he went, oh, and walked off and went downstairs. They had a fellowship downstairs, and my wife and the kids went on down, and they were downstairs, and Bob said, Alan, stay up here. I want to talk to you for a minute. So we're at the end of service Sunday night, we're standing up there, and I said, what are you going to talk about? So we stood in the back foyer, and he said, Alan, you offended our pastor tonight. And I said, what? I only talked to him for a minute. How could I have done that? That's all it takes, a minute. And I said, how in the world did I do that? He goes, well, and then I went, Columbia Bible College. I said, he went there, didn't he? And he said, yes. And I said, Bob, I told him the truth. And Bob said, no, Alan, you've been brainwashed. I got mad. I said, Bob, when I got saved, you told me that Bible was the Word of God. You gave me a King James Bible and said it was the Word of God. He goes, no, Ruckman's brainwashed you. I said, who? Right. What's that? So I said, who's that? And he goes, well, Ruckman, this guy believes that the Bible parachuted out of heaven and came down from heaven to us. I said, that sounds pretty good. But it didn't. And I said, no. I said, what's his name? He said, Ruckman. And I said, if he believes the Bible is the Word of God, I said, I'm with him. Amen. And we were going down the steps, and he put his hand on my shoulder. When he did, he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, you've been brainwashed. I said, get your hand off me, man. I got mad. I got in the flesh a little bit. And I went downstairs. I said, Linda, let's go. We're leaving. He goes, Alan, don't leave like this. Don't, no. I said, man, I'm out of here. I said, when I got saved, you told me it was the Word of God. I said, you don't believe it anymore. He goes, I do believe it. I said, no, you don't. You just told me that Ruckman's brainwashed me and that I believe the Bible. He goes, you believe there's errors in it? I don't believe there's no errors in the Word of God. If there's something that I don't understand, I can't figure out, but it ain't God's fault. It's my fault. I just can't figure it out. I pray it. Lord, show me. And there's some things that you come across that's hard to chew. And you say, Lord, I don't understand that. Because the Bible's got milk. That's why I was telling this girl last night. I said, the Bible's got milk. It's got vegetables. It's got meat. Strong meat belonging to them that are of age. So the Bible's got some stuff in there. You go, whoa, man. And when I first got saved, I didn't understand a lot of it. I just look for the milk. Amen. I was searching for milk. The Bible says as a babe in Christ, if you've just been saved, you don't, you say, I used to say this, I'll never figure this thing out. I'll never get it. But I went to Bible school. I said, I'll never figure this thing out. But then I said, I ain't giving up though. Why? Because this is the best thing that ever happened to me. This Bible right here, it feeds me. So I was looking for what I could get. And when I came across something, I read it, and I went, whew, I don't understand that. But and see, my whole thing was before I was, and when I first got saved, I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't even remember. I'd read something, and I'd walk off, and I'd go, what in the world did I just read? You know what I did? That what helped me? I'd go back, and I'd read it again. If you read something, you can't figure it out. You go, what, then you walk off. What I did, I walk off and I go, what did I read? And I try to remember, what did I read? Then I go back and I read it again. And repetition. Finally, bam, bam. And all of a sudden, man, as I'm reading the Bible, it starts like a puzzle. It starts coming together. That goes, oh, man, it starts, oh, yeah, that's good. Man, look at that. And I start figuring. And as a child of God, I've how many of her lost people say, I've read the Bible all the way through. I didn't understand one bit of it.
Yeah. Read it again.
You know why? Because it's a spiritual book.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And if you're not born from above, this Bible is a book from God. And it's a spiritual book. If you're not born from above, then God's not going to teach it to you. Now, if a person and I'll tell you this, even a lost man, if he's searching for truth and wanting to know something and said, God, are you real? Are you there? I like the night my brother got killed and I went outside God. I said, God, you blankety blank. If you're up there, I want to know. I want to know. You hear me? I'm cursing him. I said, I want to know if you're real. And I'm going to tell you something. You ask God, he'll show you if you're honest. If you're honest and you want truth, God will show it to you. I remember saying, God, is this book the truth? Is this it? He showed it to me. And when you seek God, the Bible says, seek and ye shall what? Knock and it shall be what? Open unto you. Ask and ye shall receive. So you ask God. I remember praying over the thing. I said, God, help me, Lord. I don't understand a bit. I don't understand nothing. I'm going to Bible school. I don't understand nothing. Help me. And God will show you things. And what happens is people do this. Well, I don't understand. I'm just going to go. But you know what? When it comes to your phone, when you got your phone, you didn't understand how in the world that thing worked. But you stayed with it till you learned how to do it.
Amen.
Stinking iPhone. I got an iPhone. That iPhone made me so mad. I come back. I threw it at Jesse. I came in the house. I was reaching this stupid thing. And some people, you know, you give up. You'll give up on what you know, but you know what? If you want to know something, you'll seek.
That's right.
And what most people do, and I realize here's another aspect of it. You got a spiritual thing going on here. When you're seeking God, you're God's child, and you're saved, and you are spiritually born from above, then the devil's going to constantly try to keep you from learning anything from the Word of God. He don't want you to grow. That's why I was telling this young lady last night. I said, the devil doesn't want you to grow. Why? Because you become a threat. You'll know something about him. You'll know how he works. You'll know what he does. And you'll know how the world, your enemies are. You know the first thing you do in the military? You learn your tactics, how to defend yourself, how to advance, how to offense and defense. And then you learn your enemy. You've got to know who your enemy is. Our enemy is the world, the flesh, the devil. I said the devil last because a lot of times we blame the devil for everything, but it's usually just us.
Amen.
So you got to learn something, man. You got it bothers when people. I just kind of got. I don't like to give up nothing. I don't like to give up. I'm gonna fight tooth and nail. I might have to walk away from it a little bit. I might have to walk away and come back and say, I'm gonna get this. I'm coming back. I'm gonna get it again. I'm gonna read it again. God, show it to me. That's the way I am. I want to know. So a lot of Christians get saved, and I realize the spiritual aspect of it, the devil will try to keep you so busy, so occupied, or so, in other things, caught up in other things. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is like choked in a Christian. It's choked. And the reason why they'll read it and they'll say, I don't understand that. That's just too hard. I can't figure that out. And the reason why, it's got meat in it. It's got vegetables. And with a baby, you can't take a steak. When a person gets saved, you can't take a steak and say, here, eat this, child, or you're going to starve to death, and try to shove a steak down a child's mouth. That child's choked to death on it. And as a baby has to have milk for months and months. And then you grind up vegetables, and then, you know, mama feeding the vegetables to the baby. I was telling somebody yesterday, I watched the little boy Josiah, at our house, man, and you couldn't feed that boy. I wish I had a spiritual appetite like he had, man. That boy, you couldn't, man, I watched his mama go from the plate to the mouth. It was like, ah! And, ah! It was like, it made me laugh because he was screaming. When that spoon went back to the plate, he was screaming. There, he swallowed what he had. Ah! If we were like that, man. That's why when you come to church, you say, come on, preacher, preach it. Yes, come on. Let's give it to us. I'm hungry. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to have to stop here. Already time's going by. It says, without controversy. There's no argument about it. You can't argue about it. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. See that thing? Underline it in your Bible. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, capital G-O-D. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Here's what the new American Standard, right here. This is American Standard Version, 3:16. It says this. Where is it? Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teachings persisted in this. For so by doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's it. The NIV says he was manifest in the flesh.
Who's he?
Who's he? It can be Allah. Allah's not God. One time we put on the sign out here, my mom Coleman called me up, we put on the sign, Allah is not God and the Pope's a liar. And we put that on the sign, she called me up and said, what are you trying to do, get the church burnt down? But that's the truth. The Pope's a liar.
Amen.
Allah is not God.
Amen.
That's not the God I serve, that's the moon God. Anyway, we'll stop right there. It's fiery five of. My Lord, time flies by. Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for giving us to us, Lord, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us, God. I pray, God, help us to love the truth. Help us not to sell it. Help us, Father, God, hold on to it. And, God, and Lord, just love it. Love the truth. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.